All right, we'll say good evening. Good evening. Let us begin. So we are picking up Emir Sashem on Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph. Right, last couple lines there. Good, four lines there from the bottom. Beautiful. Darash Rabbi Smaloi. So Rabbi Smaloi darshan the following idea. Liolam Yisader Adam Shvacho Shalakodesh Baruch Hu Biachra Kach Yispalo. A person should first go ahead, and this is actually a really beautiful gemara. Should first organize. Excuse me, the praise of Hashem, and only then should he daven. In other words, on a very basic level, Rabbi Smalai is saying is think before you speak. As a person gets up to daven, so again, don't just get up to daven without a plan or without a machshava. But again, know what is it that you're going to say to the Moshe. So I will say, so of course, it's hard for us to fully appreciate this gemara because we have printed siddurim, right? And so I know what I'm going to say because it's right in front of me. But again, think about it in times of the gemara where, again, a person didn't have a siddur. So again, the ability to go ahead and really think ahead. What do you want to say? How do you want to say it? What do you want to express? And we'll say, you know, it's amazing. Even think about today, like you look in Shema Kolinu, right? So in Shema Kolinu, there are all these beautiful supplemental tfilos, right? For tshuva, ana Hashem chatas yavisi, for parnasa, all of these things. But the truth is, even the supplemental things are written down. Right, Baruch Hashem, I don't have to remember anything by heart. But the Gemara is saying over here, if you want the tefillah to be a meaningful experience, you have to prepare. Now the truth is, there's a Musa Haskell in it, even aside from anything else, which is, think before you speak. That, you know, I've mentioned this many times, Rav Palm, said, what's the worst word in the English language? Worst word, don't before you blurt anything else, right? Right? Worst word, he said, is whatchamacallit. Whatchamacallit, right? Why? So the Rambam says, because if you're using the whatchamacallit, it means that you haven't fully thought out what it is that you want to say. And so why should a person ever talk before being explicitly clear on what they want to convey and how they want to convey? Now, obviously, again, halavai, whatchamacallit should be the worst thing that comes out of our mouths, right? But the sentiment is a very profound one. All right, so the Gemara goes like this. Where do we get this idea from? Pasuk says, this is Moshe Rabbeinu davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for permission to enter into Eretz Yisrael. I supplicated before Hashem at this time. Uksiv, Hashem Elokim, ata hachilosa laharos es avdocha es godlocha ves yadcha achazaka, asher mi al hashayim va'aretz, asher yasekim asecha v'chi gvurasecha. Then Moshe Rabbeinu launches into exhaustive praise of the Ribono Shel Olam. Uksiv basrei, and it says afterwards, Ebrana, So Moshe Rabbeinu again really serves as the dramatic mat. Moshe David, a lot of color tonight. Yeah. Between the shirt and the sneakers and mamish. Okay, I get threw me off for a second. Threw me off. It's like those are not gang colors, for sure those are not gang colors. So nice again, Moshe Rabbeinu serves as like the model for this, because what's really beautiful about it is Moshe Rabbeinu says, I dive into Hashem, and they end up saying, what do you see? You see ultimately again Moshe Rabbeinu organizing the praise is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he asks to enter into Eretz Yisrael. Now the truth is, Rabbeinu said, this Gemara is important for another reason as well. Remember, it's the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu that serves as the paradigm for the way we structure our tefillos as well. Right? So for example, in Shemona Esrei, we don't just launch into our request, right? We don't launch into the middle brachas of petition of what I want, but rather again, there's an order. There's Shevach, Bakasha, and Hoda'ah. There is praise, there is request, and then there's gratitude. And that model comes from Moshe Rabbeinu in Parashas Va'eschanon. He praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, asks to go into Eretz Yisrael, that becomes our model. Incredible. Let's go right there. Says Moshe, Amud Beis, 32b. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gedolu Tfilios Yomasim Tovim. So we'll say some really beautiful Gemaras over here. Tfilah, prayer, is even more powerful than good deeds, which is interesting. Right? She'in lecha gadol b'maisim tovim, Yosher Moshe Rabbeinu. They both say, there is no one of greater deeds than Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, afal pikein lo na'ane ele b'tfilah. You know, we'll say, let's finish up. Yet, Moshe Rabbeinu was not answered by God for his good deeds. Rather, he was answered by God because of his prayer. Shneamar, Al Tosef Daber Elai, V'samuchle Alei Rosh HaPisga. So we'll say, this is incredible. So just to give you the context over here, remember again, this links back to Amud Aleph. And Amud Aleph, that's Hanan Al Hashem Ba'isa Hilemor. So Hashem said, right, Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me go into the land. Right, you're God, you're great, you're fantastic, you're wonderful, let me go into the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ravlach, you have enough. Al Tosef Daber Elai Od Badavar Azeh. Don't talk to me anymore about this. Which is effectively what? Effectively what? What's God's answer? No. Right? In other words, you davened. I heard you. Stop. We're done. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Alei Rosh HaPisga. Go up on the mountain. So it's actually incredible. The Gemara understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe Rabbeinu's request in the affirmative. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Now Moshe Rabbeinu asked to enter into the land, to enter and see. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted his request and allowed him to see. Said, come up on the mountain and I will show you the totality of Eretz Yisrael. So we'll both say, it's incredible that from the eyes of the Gemara, the Chazal view it that Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah was answered. He asked to see Eretz Yisrael. He was given the right. And that's what the Gemara says. You see from here, prayer is more powerful than good deeds. Because Moshe Rabbeinu had so many good deeds, yet his prayers were only answered, or his requests were only answered because he davened. So we'll say, how incredible is this? That you see that we look at this story and we're like, oh, Nebuch, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get what he asked for. And yet the Gemara says, yes, he did. He just got it in a different way. So we'll say, a lot of times in life, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things, and too often when I don't get what I asked for in the way that I asked for it, we assume that that's a no. But so often, the Ribono Shel Olam answers our tefillos just in a different kind of way. And if you just kind of approach life with the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, He wants me to succeed, He wants me to be happy, and the truth is He gives me so much, and I open my eyes, suddenly I'm able to see, oh, you know what, that's interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted my request over here. Okay, not exactly in the way that I had wanted or that I asked for it, but yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu came through for me. It's incredible. You look at this story, and we look at this story as the paradigmatic example of Moshe Rabbeinu asking for something, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving him a resounding no. And yet the Gemara says, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. You asked to see it, I'm taking you to see it. Granted, you wanted to see it from the inside. That I'm not going to give you. But Lamaisa, again, the tefillah was still answered. Incredible. But also the other piece I think about from this Gemara is, you know, it's interesting that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu had Maisim Tovim, and tefillah. It also is interesting. I was thinking about this today a little bit, like, what were the Maisim Tovim of Moshe Rabbeinu? And what would you say? What were the Maisim of Moshe Rabbeinu?
Sacrificing his life.
So first of all, you're saying just in general.
He gave up his whole life to be the Manig of Klal Yisrael.
Right. Although again, is that Maisim Tovim?
Why not?
It's Mesiras Nefesh.
Paskin Shilas.
I'm sorry?
Paskin
Shilas. As I was thinking about this, So that's the one story that kept coming to my mind. Because my mistake is I'm looking at Maisim Tovim like in too narrow of a way that like good deeds. So like, okay, of course, he sacrificed his life. Sorry, this is the other night. You know, that's even to me, that's like something even greater than Maisim Tovim. So, but yeah, I was thinking about this, the mitzri, that what Moshe Rabbeinu did is just even before he became Moshe Rabbeinu, is that he demonstrated a willingness to step in for another. He demonstrated an empathy. He demonstrated a commitment. He saw something that was happening to his fellow Jew. And instead of just being a bystander and observing it from the sidelines, he stepped in at great risk to his own life, but could not allow a wrong to be perpetrated. It's incredible.
He did it by the Egel.
So it's interesting, by the Egel, he did it, that's tefillah, right? The Egel is all of that is tefillah. So the Gemara is contrasting over here, Maisim Tovim with tefillah. So the contrast must be, Maisim Tovim is something you do with your body. And you're going to see, actually, it's going to make more sense in the next Gemara as well. So it must be Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do with his body that could be Maisim Tovim?
Why did it take him so long to do that act of defending his fellow Jew?
Maybe that was the first time he ever saw it. Had he eaten her? Remember, Moshe, you saw the Ten Commandments, right? You saw the movie. You know that, you know. You remember, like, I'm just saying, like, he was in the palace. You know, he got his pony, he had his ponytail thing, you know. He was living, you know, he was living the life. He was living the life, you know. So let it be written, so let it be done. You know, he's, you know, so Lamaisa, I don't know. I always just assumed that's the first, you know. Also, sometimes you can know that, okay, somebody's being oppressed. But you don't necessarily know what oppression means until you actually see it. So the Torah says explicitly that Moshe Rabbeinu went out, Vayar b'sivo sam, which makes it sound like this was the first time in his life he saw this.
Does the Medrash say who that person was again?
It was the husband of Shlomis Bas Divri, Rashi says. Doesn't give his name. It's actually interesting. It's one of the, usually the wife is referred to as the wife of so-and-so. This is actually one of the few times that the husband is anonymous. I mean, not anonymous. His name is not given.
Like friend,
right? We don't need to go there right now. Let's schedule a meeting time, right? Well, so just something interesting. Again, just like so fascinating, so that it could very well be that the Meisen Tovim of Moshe Rabbeinu was that act of like just empathy. But it's more than empathy. It's like a willingness to put yourself out there for your fellow Jew. All right, let's go.
The eagle was representative of Tefillah. Why doesn't the Gemara bring that as that Moshe Rabbeinu?
That was for Klal Yisrael. This is for himself. Tefillah for Klal Yisrael always is like in a separate thing. It's a separate thing. The Gemara wants to bring an example of one's own tefillahs. So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu's answer because of his Meisim Tovim, his tefillah because more than his Meisim Tovim. All right, interesting. So we'll say along those same lines. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gedola Tainis Yosem Minat Tzedaka. This is so interesting. Fasting is more impactful than tzedakah. In charity. My time, what's the reason? This is incredible. Zeb gufof, zeb mamono. Because fasting you have to do with your body, right? And charity you just do with your money. Now, not just, we'll say, we all know, it's a very, very, very big maila to part with your money, you know, especially if you work very hard to earn it. It's not pasha. But, you know, we'll say, it's interesting that the more you have to actually give of yourself, the greater the mitzvah is. So again, even though I would have thought that, I don't know, tzedakah is like a force multiplier, right? Because you're doing for yourself, but you're also doing for someone else. Yet again, at the end of the day, it's my money, which is something external to me, as opposed to fasting, which is my own body as well. Incredible. Rabbi Elazar, Kidolo Tfila Yosem in Akarbanos. Tfila is even more powerful than karbanos. It's a great Gemara. Shneamar, Lama li rov zivcheichem. So the pasuk says over here. Gemara is quoting over here the pasuk from Yeshaya. So we'll say. So remember, this is just the context over here, is that this is the Navi Yeshaya kind of blasting Klal Yisrael a little bit. Like in other words, Klal Yisrael is going through the mechanistic motions of Judaism. You know, so they're showing us the basic thing. They're offering animals, but the Navi essentially says, "What do I need your karbanos? If your behavior is not in line." If you're not truly committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do I need all of your Kabbalah Suksiv? And the Pasuk says, Ube farsechem kapechem alim enimikem. Literally, again, when you literally extend your palms. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Kalkoin, but it's an incredible Gemara over here. Kalkoin shaharages an efesh lo yisas kapov. If a coin kills someone, he shouldn't tochen. He shouldn't tochen. Shneemar yedechem damim mileyu. Because the pasuk says once again, the navi when blasting Klal Yisrael says at the end of the day, you get up to dochen and yet your hands are filled with blood. So from here you see that a kohen who killed someone is not allowed to dochen. So we'll say, I'll just tell you, Rav Avadji Yosef has a very interesting shaila about this, where he was asked about what happens if you have a soldier. So a Jewish soldier who kills someone, is he allowed to duchen afterwards? Actually, this comes up a lot. This comes up a lot by the first time that this topic is mentioned is actually by Pinchas, right? Because remember, again, after Pinchas kills Zimri and Kozbi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu awards him with the Bris Kehunas Olam. So there's a whole shaila there. But one second, the halacha is that a kohen who kills someone, is not allowed to duchen. So Rav Avadja Paskins, I think this is the generally accepted psak. Rav Avadja Paskins that does not apply to Melchames Mitzvah. So it does not apply, again, in a situation of a warranted killing. It doesn't apply in a situation of a war for Klal Yisrael. So he says Jewish soldiers who are fighting wars for Klal Yisrael, again, even if they take life, are still permitted to dochen. An interesting idea. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, was a profound Gemara over here. Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Nina Lushari Tfilah. From the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of prayer were closed. So we'll say it's a very heavy Gemara. Very heavy Gemara, right? The gates of... We think about this, that there's only really one time of year when we're used to hearing this terminology of the gates of tefillah closing. And when is that? When is that? Ni'ilah. And even then, ni'ilah is not the gates of tefillah, right? It may be the gates of tshuva. It may be the gates of tshuva or the gates of shamayim. But here the Gemara says, literally from the day that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the gates of tefillah were shut. Shenemar. Gam ki ezak veshadeya sasam tfilasi. Even though I cry out, sasam tfilasi, it literally means my tefillah was shut down. The gates of prayer were shut down. But afa pi sheshari tefillin in a little bit, it's incredible. Even though the gates of prayer are shut down, are closed, shari dima lo ninalu. The gates of tears are open. It says, isn't that profound? Shina emar, shama tfilasi Hashem, bishavasi hazina el dima si al techerash. Literally, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do not be silent to my tears. So we'll say a really, really profound Gemara. That there's, and we'll say, what's incredible about that? You see, tefillah, here's what's there between tefillah and tears? What would you say? There's between prayer and tears. What would you say? Structure. Right, so first of all, again, tefillah has a structure versus tears, which are much more, what's the word? Spontaneous, right? Free flow. Yeah. In other words, so tefillah, you know what you start with, especially now we have a siddur. I know what I start and know what I end with, versus tears, free flowing, spontaneous. We'll say it's also, remember, tefillah, and this might sound strange, but tefillah, by definition, involves intellect. Right? Because again, even if a person has a very heartfelt tefillah, you have to use your intellect, because again, for word formulation, for idea conceptualization, prayer requires, tears do not require intellect. Tears don't require intellect. When a person cries, sometimes that raw emotion, actually sometimes the challenge of raw emotion, is that it's totally divorced from intellect. What Chazal is saying over here is that since the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, certain channels are, or certain avenues are closed. But raw emotion, unadulterated emotion, that always finds its way to the Ribono Shel Olam. All right, boss, you don't have to stop over here. We'll pick up with Rava. We'll say tomorrow, I'm going to send out a poll. I haven't sent out a poll in a little while. But